So today I'm excited to have on the line with me Rishan from alltoosimple.com. Rishan is someone who is living the life he wants. He's doing what he loves because of the things that he does. Now he's been studying and teaching personal development for over a decade, learning EFT, NLP, hypnosis, timeline therapy, HUNA, and a whole bunch more different things. Rishan is an example of how you could use all these techniques and create the life that you want. Rishan, it's great to have you on the line.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the great intro.
Hey. So, Rishan, can you give the listeners just a quick little bit of background about the reality that you have created for yourself?
Cool. I graduated from university at 21 and ended up taking a job, which, you know, I stayed at, I think, for about 18 months, at which point I was able to basically retire and start traveling. And that was about 6 years ago or so. And I've ever since then basically been traveling, kind of living on my own terms, you know, staying wherever I choose to and going from there.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, very cool. I just basically pick countries, you know, go live there for a while, do my thing.
Cool. And so you've basically done all that through your manifesting stuff, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's always had a huge influence on how I do things. I think, you know, I was trying to think back today as to when I initially got involved in, you know, at least these kinds of ideas. And I remember reading The Science of Getting Rich when I was like 12 or 13 or so, and that was, you know, when it first started to have an impact on the way I thought about things and the way I thought about success and how it happens.
So your program, Manifest Absolutely Anything, it's version 2.0. Yeah. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. Rishan, can you, in your words, give me your definition of manifesting?
That's a very good question, because I have given a lot of thought to this myself, and I've actually done a bit of commentary on it, and you know, where I believe the boundaries are drawn as to what's possible and what's not possible. So my definition to manifest something is to create something from scratch, right? Or to have something change and appear as to be the way you want it, if that makes sense.
Cool. Okay. And what about, can you give us an example of one of your biggest successes manifesting something? I don't necessarily mean the most expensive experience or possession. I mean, yeah. Sort of the most impossible kind of, you're somewhere and, you know, it would just be impossible for this to happen. And it just happened for you, you know, you made it a reality.
I tell you, one that springs to mind that was really just a mind-blowing kind of coincidence was I was in Korea, staying in Korea for a couple months, and I needed a new laptop, but it was an extremely specific screen that it needed to have. And there were only literally like three laptop makes, specific, you know, model numbers that had this exact screen. And Korea's, you know, pretty big on laptops and that kind of stuff, but it was still, you know, going to be extremely hard. And I kind of remember taking the bus there and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll do a bit of, you know, Science of Getting Rich, visualization thing. And, you know, it's worked in the past, so why not now? I need a laptop. And so I spent 15 minutes doing it on the bus, on the way there. And I kind of get to this big shopping mall where it's literally like six stories full of laptops for the most part. And I walked into every single store and no one even had anything close, you know, not even in the same kind of category. I even managed to get some of the shop owners who spoke English to call the manufacturers and the big dealers and ask them if they had those models, and just nobody had it, you know. There was just no chance. And I remember on my way, as I was kind of leaving the last escalator down, I noticed this new shop, not even a shop, it was a booth, had literally just opened, flicked his lights on. That's what caught my attention as I was going down the last escalator. So I went back up and I asked him about it. And he didn't speak very good English, but he just kind of looked at me and then pointed at these three laptops. And he probably had the smallest store in the entire place. He probably had at most like eight laptops in total, but he had those three specific models. And the story goes that he had actually just got back from the US and he bought them just because he thought someone in Korea might want them. And all three of them were like a good couple hundred dollars cheaper than I was expecting to pay. So, just insane coincidence.
You were sat on a bus and literally you put the thought out there, right? And an hour later, you were there. You bought your laptop.
I mean, in that case, put it out there with emotion and expectation, and obviously there weren't many blocks in between that happening.
Wow. So, Rishan, I'm gonna say three words, and there's a question mark at the end of it.
Okay.
Trying too hard.
Interesting. I think it exists, but I think it's probably the opposite for most people, that they may not be trying hard enough on the things that count.
Right.
So, So the things that count are, when communicating this desire or thought for the emotion to be positive and to be expectant and to be enthusiastic, that's something you want to try really hard to do, and you can't really try hard enough. There are other things like obsessively trying to remove blocks and kind of becoming obsessed in that in a way that, you kind of start to doubt as to whether it'll ever work for you because you have so many doubts and so many blocks. That's probably something, that's a case of trying too hard. I'm guessing that's what you kind of mean when it becomes negative in that way.
Right, yeah, just kind of throwing it out there, three words, really. See what came back. So, successful manifesting, right? It's important to have a clear vision. I mean, you've got to have an idea of what you want, right?
Of course. A lot of people start off with, knowing what they don't want, because most people are pretty clear about that, and that's a good place to start off with, and then figure out what you do want from there,
I used to work with clients one to one, and they'd come in. And I'd ask them what they want, and yeah, they'd start off. Well, I don't want this, and I don't want that. I don't want to be fat anymore, and I don't want to be overweight. And it just seems so hard for people to actually focus, on what they do want.
It is a great place to start, right? Because if the client goes, "I don't want to be fat," well, what would you rather be instead of fat? Because what I'm trying to say is, I'd rather someone have an emotion behind the "I don't want," rather than come to me and say, "I want X, Y, and Z," and have there be no emotional charge there, if that makes sense.
Sure. This is something you mentioned a little earlier on. Is I mean, like I said, something at the moment that I'm doing quite a lot of is helping people focus on the vision as a kind of first step. But you mentioned about attaching feeling and expectation to that vision, because just having a picture in your mind, it's not quite enough, right?
No, yeah. It's kind of the emotion is what fuels it almost, that brings it to fruition. The model that I kind of go with, and there's obviously a lot of, a lot of ideas as to how and why this works. The model that I like is the more emotion that you add, and the more of the correct emotions, which are specifically enthusiasm and expectation, the more of those two correct emotions you add in, the more your unconscious processes kind of, sit up and take notice of what you're projecting. And the more likely, when you start repeating this and doing a repetition, the more likely it is your unconscious processes again kind of figure out how important this is, how high on your priority list it is, and it should start filtering information and figuring out ways to get you this thing that you want.
So expectation, what would that be then in a nutshell? What's expectation as an emotion?
Sure. So, imagine somebody wanted a holiday with their family. So you'd be imagining this, final scene, you with your family on a beach, lying down having fun. The feeling of expectation is basically having that positive and sense of well-being within you that tells you that this is going to happen for you. And one of the ways that you create that while you're visualizing the scene is to ask yourself questions like, "Wow, what would it feel to have this? How good would it feel to be able to do this for my husband and kids?" Or, "Look at, my daughter, look at the smile on her face, and that's great, and I made this happen." So in other words, really getting into that final imagery of it already having happened and taking the positive feelings from that, and that kind of puffs you up and gives you that enthusiasm and expectation.
A lot of people talk about the life of their dreams. And to me, I don't know, a dream is something you wake up from and it disappears. A dream isn't reality. I kind of tend to prefer to use vision in place of dream. Like I say, it's just a detail, but words are very important. They do affect how we think. So what's your take on using the word dream when you want to set a goal for about something you want to achieve?
I definitely agree with you. I mean, there's a distinct different intent. Because when you say I have a dream, there's almost no intent in that, at least in, you know, kind of the English I grew up. I mean, this is just language, so it could mean different things for different people. But the way I understand dream is it's kind of a hazy, very generalized, broad kind of idea. And when you're looking to, you know, purposefully manifest something in the ways that we're teaching, you want to be more specific with that, and it's not just a dream, it's an intent or it's a vision. Something that is important, though, is that I'm 100% certain that it's healthy to have broad, vague, generalized dreams almost, and then to have a couple very specific things that you are manifesting at the time. I don't think it would be healthy to take all those dreams and try to make those all, you know, specific intents or visions and try to force yourself to juggle manifesting them all. I think it's probably a healthy thing just to have a bunch of dreams and then, you know, nitpick the one or two that you want to make happen now.
Right, great. Because, you know, at your age, you've got these kind of plans, and then 10 years, 20 years time, you know, they're going to be different, aren't they? They're going to be things. And you can't really set, or not many people can set like a 30-year plan of where they want to be. It's just too far out there.
No, I don't think we're built that way, to be honest.
So I get what you're saying. So you have these kind of, some of the things are sort of dreams, and they're out there. They're maybe not too much detailed, but it's something your unconscious can be working on as you're focusing on more immediate things that you do want to manifest that are important to you sort of right now. And the bigger picture will come into focus the closer you get to it, because you add pieces to it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you only have a certain amount of resources, right? And you want them to be focused in the most precise, concentrated way on the thing that's most important to you right now. So that's why you only want to have one or two big visions or intents that you're working on at any given time. And I think why it's a good idea to just have vague dreams and be totally okay with it until the emotion kind of wells up, you know, where you start getting excited about it and it's starting to get important for you. That's the time to, you know, take it out and start working on it.
Sure, that would be the time to make it crystal clear in your mind, put that intent with it. Sure. So what about gratitude then? Can you tell me a little bit how gratitude works?
Gratitude, yeah. Gratitude is actually the way I think it's one of the most important things. If I were to pick, you know, three of the most important things that I teach, when you're imagining that end scene, that endpoint imaginary experience, so another way to get that expectation and enthusiasm is to sincerely feel grateful for this thing or experience having manifested in your life already.
So you're a student of NLP. I know that you understand the whole terms of like submodalities, the finer distinctions in the sensory systems, the five different ways we think. So
yes.
Do you use any kind of anchoring techniques so you can bring them back and certain times?
That, to be honest, that actually never occurred to me. I guess the gratitude is very specific in the way I do it. I'll be imagining the scene, so, you know, away with the family on holiday. And then I'll start to ask myself, you know, or I'll start to say to myself, wow, I'm so grateful for being able to give them this opportunity, you know, thank you for that. And, you know, I might thank my unconscious resources or processes for helping me out. And I may thank the universe or whatever it is else, but just sincerely feeling gratitude specifically for being able to make this happen for the ones that I love.
So, how important do you think it is to have your opportunity detecting filters wide open and set to maximum so that you're always looking for opportunity?
Interesting. I would honestly say it's not that important, and I wouldn't put any conscious attention on it, because what I find happens is when something is definitely on its way towards you, there's nothing stopping it. If you miss the first 10 opportunities, the 11th comes by pretty quick. I've had that happen on, you know, a couple occasions where I'll kind of look back in retrospect and be like, wow, that was another opportunity to have that exact thing I wanted right there and right there and right there, and I missed all three of those, but somehow I lucked out and noticed this one. So what I'm saying is, if everything's lined up, it's going to happen, and it, you know, things are going to continually be lining up for you until you notice one or two of them.
Right. So if you do notice there was a fantastic opportunity, you didn't take it, to just be really cool with that and just let it go because another one's coming.
Yeah, completely. If, you know, if that really was a great opportunity and you really did miss it, then, you know, everything's lined up and it's on its way, and something else just as good will be, you know, coming up next.
Rishan, the film The Secret, I'm sure most of the people listening to this have seen it. I'm sure you've seen the film.
Yeah, of course.
It was 90 minutes long. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not possible to cover every aspect of the law of attraction in detail in one 90-minute session. What do you think was the biggest piece missing from the movie?
Action, for sure, without a shadow of a doubt. They didn't talk about action whatsoever. And in my mind, that's a huge part of the manifesting process. Firstly, because when you have an intent and you take action, that's already an indication to your unconscious processes that you're pretty serious about that intent. And so once again, more resources get allocated to manifesting this intent, information gets filtered to show you ways in which to achieve it, all these good things start happening. So I think action, one, you know, demonstrates intent to your unconscious mind. The other is, for, you know, 90% of desires out there, just because of the nature of the physical world we live in, action will need to be taken. That doesn't mean it has to be, you know, laborious, really frustrating, forced action, but physical action will need to be taken, and generally it's inspired action, action that you enjoy, and action that where results flow from pretty easily, and you know, you don't have to try to motivate yourself to do it. It kind of happens through you almost. So that's, in my mind, definitely the biggest part, and probably the most important part that they missed out, action.
Wallace Wattles is very clear about taking action being an important part in his Science of Getting Rich system. But it did seem to get missed from that. You said about inspired action. It's easy for you to take action. And that's absolutely true when what you're working towards is something that you're really juiced up and excited by, because it's going to be good for you and it's going to be good for other people. But, Rishan, I'm sitting here and I want to manifest a six-pack, right?
Yeah.
I tried going to the gym. I spent 18 months going to the gym. It's hard work and I don't enjoy it. So, yeah. You know, on there's one level, I'd like to get a little bit fitter. And then there's another level that there are just other things. So in that kind of instance where people, they want something, but they don't have that burning desire for it.
Yeah, I think there are, you know, two clear ways to go at it, and I'll give you my preference for it, which will probably be controversial. I think the one way to go at it, which is probably the norm in the personal development kind of scene, would be to look for patterns of self-sabotage, right? Look for limiting beliefs, all those good things that we've heard about, you know, millions of times, and clear those out until you feel the motivation to start losing the weight. So that's definitely one path, and it's one that I've definitely followed for a very long time. And I'd say over the last, you know, 5 years or so, maybe a bit longer, I've moved over to the other end as my first port of action, which is kind of accepting that I want to lose the weight for two reasons, and forcing is the wrong word, creating a behavior change, making it really convenient and making it really easy and making it take not much effort, and creating some behavior change by creating some small positive habit up front, and using that to build momentum, you know, seeing some results, getting a little more excited about it, maybe making a concrete goal to get down to a certain body fat or to get into a certain size or, you know, to look a certain specific way. But basically what I'm saying is option A is to, you know, try to go introspective and find all the blocks. And I've definitely done that to great success, you know, especially using EFT, because you can clear out blocks so quickly. And the other is to kind of get some momentum going by creating a small habit that moves you in that direction, getting a little bit more excited, maybe expanding on the habit a bit, or maybe taking it into a full-blown intent, you know, then starting to tackle some of the limiting beliefs directly. But I think what you'll find from the second option is that you start to build momentum, you start to build a bit of belief, you start to build a bit of intrinsic excitement almost.
So you're setting a vision again, you're visualizing it, you're setting goals. You mentioned EFT then. So is that one of your preferred techniques for removing blocks?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, out of everything I've tried, I've never found anything come anywhere near close to EFT in terms of how quick it does what it does and how high of a percentage it works, you know, and how little skill you have to make it work. The only skill you need is about 30 seconds of coaching as to which, you know, which points to tap. I'm a big proponent of evidence-based technology in general. So there's a big study going on now. I believe the New York Alternative Health Board is funding it. A big study going on to investigate whether EFT and acupressure techniques in general perform above what a placebo would perform in terms of, I think it's for a weight loss study. So specifically helping people deal with food cravings. So I've got my eye on that. I'm the biggest believer in EFT on the planet. I literally stumbled onto it when I was about 12 or 13. It's well over a decade that I've been using it now. The first time I did it, it just absolutely blew my mind. I don't know if it was a phobia or just a physical kind of reaction to lotion of all things, like body lotion. And I'd had it my entire life. I couldn't touch like steering wheels when people had touched it with lotion on their hands. And when my mom would touch me, if she just put some on, it would make me cringe. And I literally tapped that away in 30 seconds, something that had been bothering me for at least 5 years at that point. So that made me a believer immediately. And ever since then, I've loved it.
Right, evidence-based, yeah. TFT, it is very quick. Like you say, it's very simple to use. I used to use TFT, a similar forerunner, I think, to EFT, very similar. And I know Paul McKenna uses it in his weight loss system as well. There's also something called the havening technique, which is a bit of a mix of tapping and some EMDR stuff. But yeah, so it is a very effective technique, isn't it, for removing those kind of blocks.
And it's just so quick, you know, and it's so permanent most of the time. A lot of the work research I've been doing lately is on behavior change and you know, trying to separate behavior change from thought change and emotion change. So in other words, how to create quick, small habits to teach people how to take action quicker. So it's kind of an area that I'm fast becoming very, very good at.
Cool. So you're using TFT with that. What else are you using with that then? What other sort of techniques?
I use a lot of silver method stuff. Using the 3-to-1 to change intent while at level. I actually use the words from the Huna prayer because I like them a lot. Not the exact words, but the theme of letting go and then coming up with the intent, coming up and knowing that, you know, it's already done and all that good stuff. Just off the top of my head, I actually draw also on some strategic planning models, when I'm teaching people about how to take action. We talk about like 80-20 and how I apply to this and how you should be applying it when you're manifesting stuff.
What is it, do you think, that most people who don't get a result when using any kind of law of attraction or manifesting ideas, what's the one biggest thing that most people are doing wrong?
The biggest mistake I feel that most people make is that they just don't take any action even when they're inspired to do it. That, you know, I, as simple as it sounds, to most people who I speak to on a one-to-one basis, that seems to be where they're getting stuck. They're doing the other stuff, you know, kind of okay or good enough, and then when the inspiration comes along, or even not even necessarily inspiration, but just a little opportunity, they're not taking a little step forward, putting in some action, and building that momentum.
Sure. One of the things I like to use is NLP technique, timelines. I find that great for setting action steps, if you like, you know, chunking it your goal out there 6 months, a year in the future, and
Yep.
Stepping back from it and putting those action steps in there along with good feelings and you know, to really draw you towards it.
I'm a huge fan of timeline therapy, actually. I think it's definitely my most favorite part of NLP and the part that I still use pretty often.
There's a lot of advice out there, right, about focusing your mind on what you want with vision boards and video things, notebooks, gratitude journals, affirmations, all these kind of things. If somebody wants to start using something like this, what would you say is a great place to start? A great tool to use?
Wow. A great tool, as in any kind of resource that they could search for information online, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I guess my favorite tool is Google. as lame as it sounds, I was probably going to, you know, it all, especially in our market where there's definitely no single Wikipedia or resource, you know, that you could go to and find out all the answers. I would, you know, I would basically use Google and make sure to only take advice from people, A, who actually have the results that they're promising to teach you, you know, and B, focus on having evidence for the technology they use. Because I think one of the biggest criticisms of the personal development industry is that there's a lot of unverified, untested theories and technologies floating around. And I think it would be best, you know, if we kind of researched them more and did more, more looking into them, if that makes sense.
So, I mean, you're certainly somebody who is living life the way you want to live it. And you've created your program, which is obviously a great resource for people as well.
Yeah.
Can you tell us just a bit about Manifesting Absolutely Everything, version 2?
Sure. Version 1 was the first kind of teaching, per se, that I'd ever created. You know, I hadn't written a book really before or anything like that. And it came about because I'd been traveling for, you know, at that point, 5 or 6 years, and just kind of staying in different places and having fun. And people would ask me, you know, what I did and what kind of special thing I was doing or why this all works so well. And inevitably, everywhere I went, I, you know, ended up trying to put these ideas forth to some people and help them out. And, you know, I've stayed in touch with a lot of them. And eventually when I got back home for a bit, some of my friends were like, hey, why don't you just, you know, put it into some kind of information product and make it available online? That way you could just refer people to it whenever they asked. And so that's kind of how I thought, oh, that would be a really cool way to share this. So I just kind of spent the next 3 months putting together my thoughts on a, you know, and I specifically focused on what I had done through all those successes, through all those things that I manifested, you know, from fixing health issues to, you know, finances to retiring to partners, just looking for the thread and then correlating those back to the, you know, to the works on the law of attraction that were already out there, you know, making the distinctions, adding additional distinctions. And I kind of put it into a system that I hoped anyone would be able to kind of pick up, put into action and see immediate results. And that was about a year and a half ago, I believe. And that went, you know, really well. I think we literally sold over 5,000 copies or so in those 6 months. We got a lot of feedback. And so what I did is went back and redid it. And that's why we call it version 2. So that's basically what Manifest Absolutely Anything is all about. It's, you know, the way I think the mindset strategies, you know, tools and steps that I believe will give you the highest chance of manifesting anything you desire.
You've taken all this stuff that you've been learning for over a decade, all these different techniques, EFT and HUNA, and you've distilled all the stuff that works then, that's been working for you, and you've put it in this this package.
Exactly. And I've kept it really simple because I think application is more important than being theoretically perfect, you know. So I like to apply the 80-20 a lot, and I do that a lot throughout the course, as you'll see.
Fantastic. And it's called Manifest Absolutely Anything. So it is possible to manifest a Caribbean island. It just might take some time, though, right? It
Yeah,
might take a
exactly.
while.
It would probably take a lot of time, and 99.9999% of people wouldn't be willing to put in the action to manifest it, right?
But essentially, you can set your sights on what you want to achieve, and use a lot of the techniques in there. And I believe you're at the moment. It's currently at a pretty fantastic price as well, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm selling it for $17.
$17.
Just because my primary motivation, you know, is to get it out to as many people as possible. Kind of share the goodness.
Fantastic, Rishan. It's been absolutely great talking to you. If there was one thing which you could share, which I hope there is, one final big thought for everybody listening, what would that be? One big final thought about law of attraction, manifesting, and all that kind of good stuff.
You know, I guess I could just summarize it all by saying you basically communicate your desire with the correct emotions repeatedly. You take care of any kind of doubts, those are basically blocks that come up. You take some action, you act on your inspiration, you watch for further inspiration, and you kind of spiral your way upwards towards manifesting whatever it is.
Fantastic. Rishan, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. Hopefully it's intrigued people, left them wanting to know more. And of course they can, because your program is at a fantastic price. And I'm sure there'll be a link below this this audio for anybody to go look at that program and, have a go on it.
Awesome.
And see how well it works for them. It's Friday night in
yeah.
Thailand.
Yeah, 8:38.
Rishan, thank you very much for taking the time to help out with this. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it sharing.
Brilliant.
All right.
Hey, it's been great. Have a great evening.
Cheers, you too.